Blog Talk Radio.
Lightworker Radio. Good evening, good morning, good day to all our light family around the world. And this is Christina, and I'm here with you this evening. And we're actually coming to you live from our bi-weekly meeting where we gather at Simon's Place. He's the Toronto facilitator, where we sort of gather to do meditation and group discussion on the teachings and works of Valmin. And she actually joins us during this time, and I believe she's online. And I am just going to check in, and I'd like to welcome Almin. Almin, are you there?
Can you hear me, my sister?
I can hear you. Wonderful. Thank you. Welcome.
Oh, great.
Being here.
Thank you so much.
I just want to let you know, Almin, actually, we're trying something different tonight. We've got the live show, but as well we have a lot of our light family around the world on Skype at the same time from Curacao, Canada, Paris, and U.S. So they're all here joining with us this evening.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Okay, so what I thought we could do this evening instead, I know you have a lot of information or insights that have been coming through the last few days. I've listened to every radio show you've done, and it's just wonderful. Maybe you could share with a lot of the people who haven't heard it or some new listeners that are tuning in tonight, and we can work from there, and maybe if we have time, we can get some questions in from either the group here or the group that's on Skype.
Yes, my sister, I would be very, very happy to do that. You're welcome. And could you tell me, did you want me to go through some of the crop glyph issues that we've been discussing on the various shows, or what exactly did you want me to do? We can go from there, or we can backtrack a bit and do some of the crop glyphs as well.
I think, yeah, if we could backtrack a little, just because on our show, maybe we have some new listeners, and they might not be familiar, so that would be wonderful.
Exactly. Okay. Well, first of all, I wanted to share with them that I really have had very little to do with crop glyphs, and actually have a film of a crop glyph being made, and didn't know that nobody had ever seen one. And so last night I was on the Alan Steinfeld show on BBS, and I told him that I had this video in my drawer in my little house in England, and he said, well, nobody has ever seen a crop glyph being made. And I said, wait a minute, we were able to capture it, and it's a little ball that goes, the top half is spinning one way, the bottom half is spinning the other, and it's sitting in my drawer in England. So I'm actually going to try and retrieve that for us, and we can turn it into something that we can all look at, I hope, in the next 10 days or so. So that's number one. And number two is they can go to arubafirina.com, and they can actually hear a crop glyph being made, because the sound was recorded by BBC in London as a crop glyph was forming. And so that's another thing that they can do. But I have paid scant attention to crop glyphs, not having much to do with any of them, and thought that I would be doing them next January. and instead it has been the last 2 weeks. And they have, now I'm going to just sort of jump right into the middle of the translations that I've done, because there's two very important parts that pertain to today. In fact, I almost thought I wouldn't be able to make the radio show because right 20 minutes before the show, I started to be given work by the infinite that I didn't know if I could even share at this point, and it finished 1 minute till five. Perfect timing of the infinite, as usual. So what I'll do is just start right in.
Great.
And please interrupt me if you have any questions. I don't mind that one bit. So part of the story, there are three major issues that are written in the Croglyphs in Wiltshire that have occurred during June, July, and August. And during that time, just a flurry of glyphs in the area came out, and those are the only ones that so far I've been privileged to translate. One of them is something, and for those of you that follow the Almeen Wisdom Twitter, you will see that Paul Downs, who is our sort of Twitter master, if there's such a thing, he put on there a drawing that I made for my support group, A-team, colleagues, whatever you want to call my brothers and sisters that work by my side. And I made it for them in May. And this appeared in July in the Croglyph, as a Croglyph in the fields. It's a triangle, and it has a circle on each corner, and then I drew one where the circle is in the middle. The Croglyph shows the circle isn't in the middle, it's somewhat down. That is the symbol that is used in many mystical languages for an alternate reality that has been created. For those of you that are on the I Am Institute, the Institute of Applied Mysticism, that are enrolled in the course of the science of immortality and incorruptibility, this is your second month of exploration through this journey to prepare you for these high levels of incorruptibility. The second month through unfolds some of the mysteries that have taken place on the earth. And it really is giving the reason why during the entire first month you spend your time removing and removing and removing. It's like peeling an onion, the layers of illusion. And by the way, for those that didn't get a chance to join in for this, you can speak to those who did. I know that it's been a life-changing experience for all of us because the information comes straight from the God Kingdom, and it's to prepare us to correct the alternate reality by becoming the incorruptibles on earth. And Paul and I, in fact, one of the reasons why we're late getting our 18 elixirs up, they should be up in their entirety by tomorrow afternoon, but one of the reasons we're late getting it up is that we had to redo number 18, and it's called the Mountains, the Mountain of the Immortals. And we have been creating a mountain of immortals, and the music that came through me speaks of the immortals living above the clouds, and the clouds that only mortals can see. And what it is that we are to rise head and shoulders above the cloud covering of this alternate reality, seeing through the illusions and appearances and seeing behind it. And as we do that, you know, it triumphantly ends with throw open the gates and throw wide the gates, because humankind also needs to enter into incorruptibility. Well, this alternate reality, in the second month you will realize how the Aztec civilizations, very barbaric, blood-shedding for the gods and so on, and the Egyptians, triangulated with the sun god Ra in the sun, which is the realms of Arulu, if you listen to the Secrets of the Hidden Realms book that I explained my trip into the realms of Arulu. They triangulate in order to form an alternate null point. An alternate null point, that point of stillness in the middle of the circle that really doesn't turn. And so our task this day is to make a very, very major leap. And I realized as this work ended 1 minute till five that we are to do it together here tonight. So I will share that with you. But to backtrack a bit, how did they triangulate and make this? In a nutshell, it came from three black light cosmoses outside of ourselves. Are they real? Well, really, what is real? They're shadows cast by us. And we are going to remedy those shadows tonight. But the point of the matter is, that is the external triangulation, but what they had done is pretty serious if we thought of this illusion as real. It would be hair-raising. They have put into our soil and our waters and our plants and they've put into our species that which comes from their cosmoses. For instance, the killer bees. For instance, the genetic engineering of plants produces black light plants. When white light beings like you and I consume those, it breaks down the body. So they've infiltrated us. And you can go online and look at the nanotechnology found in the Ural Mountains, and you will find that there are photographs of these little devices that look like an electromagnet, a little rod with something wound around it. You can see the little holes in the top where it was grasped to produce it at like a little factory. And they are 0.0003 micron small. That's how tiny they are. And it was not until somebody looked at soil during a mining expedition through an electron microscope that they could see these things. And they've now discovered them in several places in Russia. You know, I have waited and waited and waited to go to Egypt because it has not felt right. And I have told people going to Egypt, you must be careful. There is a pattern in the sand that it sucks out your consciousness by lowering your frequency. You know, I didn't know what that pattern in the sand was. I did know Thoth put it there. But what it is are these particular little tiny things. So this is part of what has been described. We could not possibly have seen it before. It's only in the last few years. But it's been described as being nanotechnology that is at least 200,000 years old. So multiple places, including Ireland, this has been placed in the soil. And I haven't looked other places. I just know South Africa, Egypt, Ireland, Russia, and so on. So my brothers and sisters, that's number one. The second thing that's been put in the soil is something that is etched in the fields of Wiltshire. It looks like a little sperm or a little tadpole. And what it is a bioorganism that is, again, so minute that it's in the air. Our ordinary microscopes can't pick it up. It's in our soil. It's in our water. And what it does is that it lowers the consciousness of man to a low level of sort of, that's why humanity has become addicted to pornography in such masses. That's why we are so attracted to violent movies. My brothers and sisters, as those who are standing forth as that which rises in the mountain of the incorruptibles, we cannot have a foot in both worlds. It will create such confusion in our environment to be part of the mud of the world and still try and fly high with the eagles. I know that it has been addictive because they have targeted light workers. Here's something interesting. I have for some time had sisters come and tell me, you know, I don't understand this. I never had any inclination towards pornography. And then I was with this man 5 years ago that was my partner for a while. And he was very much into pornography, and since then, I have been interested in, and during sexuality Even though I've moved on, I see these distorted pornographic images and the real sort of perversion that he was into. My brothers and sisters, same matter has been attracting, and opposite light has been attracting. So these are material nanoorganisms. And what it does is when we lower ourselves and go into pornography, they gather and they actually enter the body in full force through air. They're attracted to somebody with the same low frequency. And then when there's ejaculation into the woman, she gets literally infected with these organisms. So that's the second triangulation of infiltration that has happened. The third thing that has happened has been discovered, and thank you to my beloved brother Niels in Holland. We knew that there was something producing an imbalance of gold, silver, and green. The colors of the Irish flag is a gold, yellow, a white, which is for silver, and then the green. And it was discovered in Ireland at this time. And so my brothers and sisters, we realized that there was something causing a tremendous imbalance in gold, silver, and green in humanity. The way, there would be excess in your body of gold. For instance, people are given gold when they have a rheumatoid arthritis and so on, and it's horrible for them. It changes their personality and everything. This is what has happened to us. So to continue, the morning after we had discussed this, Niels was just the previous day saying that it was felt generally that there was far more sand on the earth that could be accounted for than just by our own erosion. The next morning, he's in his boarding house, and he sees a special on sand done by the Japanese. And the Japanese scientists have discovered something in between the grains of sand they call yellow dust. They claim that it's good because, yes, it kind of shields us from the hothouse effect and this sort of thing. But the bottom line of it is they say that it has within it little factories that produce chemicals. And there we have number three, infiltration. If you take a look at the crop glyphs of Wiltshire that happened during the last 3 months, you will find something that looks like a little stylized caterpillar. It's little circles, and then it has little tubes coming out the side that look like little legs. They've drawn the little factories that produce the chemicals. The chemicals produce an overload of gold and silver and green. And I want to read to you what our brother Helge, spelt H-E-L-G-E, from Denmark, has sent us, because he came up to me and he said, Almin, those qualities that you're saying that is happening is exactly what somebody, and he's a chemist, that works with homeopathic remedies is aware of. Gold. And I'm reading here from the paperwork he sent through to me, and thank you, Helia, if somebody could just tell him that online. Gold produces religious fervor. Man, we've got the only right religion. You know, Mormons steadfastly claim they're the only ones that can get you into the higher heavens. Then you get the Muslims. They steadfastly claim everybody else is a heretic. Then you get the Catholics. I mean, it goes on and on. Nowhere else is there such a thing as on earth. This religious fervor is produced by an excess of gold. Then there is a loathing of life and self and suicidal tendencies. Melancholy, feeling unfit, longing for death. My sister Eva told me yesterday that one of her family members in Poland was asking her just to please put him out of his misery and let him have death and stuff like that. These mirrors in our environment have been of excess gold, despondent melancholy, imagines he cannot succeed in anything, dejected, full of melancholy. Imagine he has lost the affections of his friends, makes him sad, even unto tears. This is excess gold. Green as oxidized copper, and copper is a major use that the Orions, when they had their very hostile races, used to use on Earth, because what does it do? So it produces becoming anxious about death, great depression of spirits, slight attacks of deathly anxiety, feeling like everything is insane, feeling themselves to be insane, and so on. The silver is the following. It is feeling contented when merry, but any trifle can set someone off to deep sorrow and crying. Feels unpleasant and lazy, depressed, sleepy, anxious about health, full of care, inclined to melancholy, and anxious, as if clothing got too tight with feverish heat. Displeased, mental agitation induces headaches and indigestion. These symptoms, all of us should have been feeling in the last few months. Now, there is, however, an issue, and that is, what does the alchemical equation produce when you put these three together? It produces self-destructive tendencies. It produces can't go on, not one step, can't do this anymore. I'm going to fall on the sword to prevent myself from manifesting such a life. In other words, I'm going to self-destruct before I continue in these situations. I had this in my environment in many different ways. An example, we had put stock in with New Leaf. It's my stock. I pay them day by day by day by day a penny for each item that's there, and there are thousands of CDs, to stock it for me. But if I want to pull it out, they charge me for it. So I either have to stock it, or I have to buy it from them to get my own stock back. We shipped to Canada, to Simon and Helena. We shipped some boxes of material. They charged my credit card $11,000. I went right to the president of the company. I said, how can you have such reprehensible business practices? I mean, Hilda has been on. She has been absolutely living in his pocket. They won't budge. So, you know, I just wanted to destroy my stock. So I told them, you know, we've got thousands with you. Just destroy it. I refuse to be held hostage by you, and I will not allow you. I felt self-destructive with things that has taken me years to build. I have felt like just throwing in the towel sometimes with the work that I'm doing. I know Aoife has felt it. I could hear it in Karen's letter to me that came through yesterday. My brothers and sisters, it's the conjunction of these chemicals which have been pumped into excess, specifically into today. But it's been the last week particularly badly, and the last 2 weeks, I think you can say. I walked over there to Ruchir. I was handing him the show because I wanted him to tweet it for us, you know. And I said, Ruchir, we forgot today is a public holiday. He said, what? I said, it's Insult Almin Day. I have received 6 pages of just unbelievable judgments, insults. I mean, you cannot believe it. I had a lady this morning say about one of my photographs, which is where I'm smiling, and she says, what, is she auditioning for the Joker? Horrible insults. So I go, okay, look, this is really interesting. These insults were timed. Why is today so important? Today is so important for the following reason. Something has bothered me, and that is that over the years, those whom I have known are not from our white light cosmos have been giving prophecies into 2010 in my life. And their prophecies are quite accurate. excuse me, how do they know that? Are they able to see into 2010? If that's the case, that means we are still at the level where we are being mind-controlled and emotionally controlled by their nanotechnology. That's how they can see. And my brothers and sisters, that's when I realized today is the day to do what Ifa has already seen, to make the leap 7 levels up in consciousness, out of the reach of these illusions. Yesterday, I became aware, Karen sent me pages of what she calls little spy bots, and they're tiny nano-organisms. She drew them. I can see exactly what they look like. They look like little tangled, little tiny tangled pieces of seaweed, perhaps, or maybe even a little jellyfish with not such a big head but with lots of tentacles. That's what they look like. And then she drew me sigils that have this interspersed in between. They've gone into multiple kingdoms. My brothers and sisters, these are coming from Earth. They're coming from Earth governments. Shelley had written earlier last week, there are two who wish to have the power for themselves. And I became aware yesterday when I looked at these little tiny spy bots in my home that there were two men wanting the power that we as the major light workers have accumulated. And, you know, it was dealt with, but the point of the matter is, why are these things here? It's time for us to move up to the next level. And one of the things that needed to be looked at, see, as Belvaspitar practitioners, the people that are drawn to Belvaspitar is really a form of high, incorruptible magic of the angels, if you will, but given by the infinite. It's a form of high magic, incorruptible and pure. It draws into itself the key people on the planet so that when you heal them, the rest of humanity heals. It was meant not only for you and your patient, it was meant to heal the planet. We know that we hook into larger and larger groups as we do this. So my brothers and sisters, every time you clear them, they go out the door, they bring back their matrices. Let me explain how this happens. We have received the Belvaspitar to end all diseases. It may not be given to the masses. It may not be sold. It is given to those who have spent 2 months in the Institute of Human Potential preparing for it. At the end of the second month, they get it. At the end of the third month, there's an even bigger gift given in terms of completely unhooking from humanity's ball and chain that we are trying to drag forward as those immortals wanting to get to their mountaintop retreat. It's a complete unhooking of the diseases in the grids of man, the group mind and the group heart of man. The diseases are in there, and we unhook from them, and that is the end of disease. Now, why can we not give it to the masses? Because Ifa was saying to me, listen, Almin, why don't we just give this and skip all these protocols that we've got to draw all these drawings for and everything? Because every single disease or disorder has a very specific number of sigils. The reason for that is that those sigils are, there are, say there's 65 sigils for Down syndrome. I can't remember the exact amount, but say there is. The reason there's 65 is there are 65 specific matrices that that person, old programs, that that person is hanging on to in their bodies. So what the Belvaspitar is meant for the man in the street to do is to help them remove those matrices. But there is a set that she has received, and I just need to look at them and make absolutely sure we're all on the same page, because I haven't had the chance to look at them. But basically, we're now in the place where there's a sigil per disease, and at the end of it, there's a sigil to remove all the matrices, not to end disease, to remove all matrices. The thing is that we kept fixing things, and it kept making itself go back again. People do not do the self-work to keep those matrices away. A Belle Hospital practitioner can only do so much good, because they go home, they yell at their wife again, you know, they steal their boss's time by taking a holiday when he's out of town and things like that. I mean, whatever they're doing in their lives, that is coming back, and they're not doing the self-work. So to prevent them from pulling us backwards each time we pull these key players through Belle Hospital forward, this set has been given, and as soon as I can go through it and write it out and everything, it will go for free on the website. But what is recommended is that if you do Belle Hospital on somebody, that you write down their name on your list of patients. Then start keeping track. Then as you get this, every morning you do that Belle Hospital, which is to help prevent them. Now, we're not going to force them, but this is helping. It's like a daily Belle Hospital follow-up healing to that which you originally did. And you can't substitute it for it, but it's to help keep the healing in place, because it helps remove the matrices so they don't form back so easily. And so, my brothers and sisters, every morning, this will take 10 minutes. You just, over 10 minutes, all those that you are treating with Belle Hospital, you do this this one that ends with the removal of all matrices, and every day you do it, and you just keep adding to your list. You can have a stack of 500 papers if you want, but every day they benefit from that. Your clients should be informed that you are going to be doing daily healings for them indefinitely, as long as you are practicing Belle Hospital. Their name is added to a daily list. It is definitely something no other modality does. And for the marketplace, that is an interesting addition. But as we do love, praise, and gratitude, it creates, now, they're no longer separate. They are a union. You can do love, you get the union. You get praise, you get the union. You get gratitude, same thing. The union, love, praise, and gratitude equals adoration. So love, praise, and gratitude equals adoration. Adoration is then added. Now, this is something that becomes an equation, and this is our way out from under the clouds. The clouds is the alternate reality. So love, praise, and gratitude equals adoration. We know this. We've got this in much of our material. When you add to that the ecstatic unfoldment of indivisible oneness, it equals, now some of you want me to go slowly. Okay, love, praise, and gratitude equals adoration. You add to that the ecstatic unfoldment of indivisible oneness. The reason we say indivisible oneness is anything, even though it may have joined into one that can be separated, is an illusion. When you add those together, you get a shadowless life, of spontaneous, alternating, emphasis. And I will explain this one. I got this 1 minute to five. And so I will explain that. My brothers and sisters, why has today been Insult Helmine Day? Why have we had things today that rattle us? Why have people around us perhaps not been nice, or this, that, whatever it is you've encountered in your day today, or yesterday, or the day before, because they wanted to throw us off track to today. Today was their last day to hold on to us from these other cosmoses. When love and praise and gratitude becomes one net point of a triangle, ecstatic unfoldment of indivisible oneness, the other, shadowless life of spontaneous, the alternating of emphasis, the other, it pulls together into a place of where illusion does not have a hold on us. So let me explain that, and let me just quickly ask, my love, am I doing what you wanted me to do? You didn't have bunches of questions or anything, right?
No, we're
Christina, is this okay, my darling?
This is wonderful. I'm just feeling it, so thank you.
Okay, sweetie, and do I have till 6 or thereabouts?
Well,
I think I have about 10 minutes more, and then I'll leave you, if that's okay.
You're going to leave us in 10 minutes?
If you want
23 minutes for the show.
Okay, you don't have things you need to do on the show, because I'm happy to do the 23 minutes.
No, but, you know, we can do questions if you want at some point, you know.
Okay, well, let's see how we get there, you know.
Thank you.
So, my brothers and sisters, what did they do to prevent us from this day taking a leap up 7 levels in terms of how much more of the oneness we express? That is the best way I can say what I mean by a leap. Our ascension, descension, everything like that we leave by the wayside. We are playing a whole new ball game. We are becoming one. We are shedding the membranes that have held us in confinement and in separation consciousness. They have been flooding the environment of light workers by materializing them from outside of our cosmos. They have been flooding our environment with these chemicals that produce the excess of silver and gold and green from copper that has oxidized. So what has happened is for weeks we have been feeling, I can't do this anymore. I absolutely cannot take one step further. Everybody in our environment has been agitated because they've experienced the same thing. Life has seemed crazy, crazy, crazy. Like, I can't live like this anymore. I mean, there's been some serious consideration from light workers everywhere. I must leave. I had one of our oracles write to me, just please, can you get me into the city? I cannot walk this road one step further. And my brothers and sisters, many of us have felt that. And it has been the unbearable feeling that is produced by these chemicals. They have also been lowering our emotions, because those little tiny things that you find in the Ural Mountains, the little nano technologies that you find there, and incidentally, in our culture right now, they can produce a laboratory to produce nano technology the size of a credit card. That's now possible. So, you know, you can imagine, so that's where the spy bots came from. They spy on those that they see are changing the world in a benevolent way, or speaking about sacred government or whatever it is. And so just to continue, so what they've been doing is they've been materializing, because part of how they've done the sand, a lot of the sand on Earth isn't ours. They've materialized it here. And I know this, my brothers and sisters, because in October, around the 17th or so of October 2004, a bomb was materialized inside the core of the Earth. They hoped to blow us up because they could see that in 2005 we were going to start upwards. And, of course, in February the 1st of 2005, we started a really major ascension. So they... how did it get into the core of the Earth? They materialized it there. And it came from distant galaxies, distant cosmoses outside our cosmos. I actually wrote about these in the book Journey to the Heart. No, not that one, Almin. Windows into Eternity. In there, I speak about these distant cosmoses. In fact, for one strand of cosmic clusters, I gave a symbol, and the symbol is very similar to to what has just been put in the fields of our land in Wiltshire. So they have been flooding major light workers because of today. Today is the day where we put this equation together and we soar above life. Yes, love.
Sorry. We listened to your Sedona show the other day, so on the 31st, after I listened to it, I started to do some writing, and on the top, the title was, you know, Nano Information. But what I felt very, very strongly was everything was in slow motion, like extremely sleepy, as I was writing it. And I talked to several of the other sisters that day who were very, very sleepy, the same thing. So I'm just, is this eliminated today, or is there something that we...
That's the silver.
That's the silver? Because I was tired when I was writing. Like, I can send you the writing. I don't know what I wrote, but it just felt like everything was slow motion, like we were learning again to do it from the beginning, and then it was just, there was just such tiredness from it.
See, what happens is that, how do you make a mirror? Because silver is as though drunken. One of its symptoms is as though it is drunken. One of the ones that Helge, or Hilje, as is properly pronounced, I think, is put down here, is depressed and very sleepy. Feels lazy, low energy, displeased, doesn't even want to talk. Let's take a look at what makes a mirror. A mirror makes a contracted mind. When you have a mirror, you contract and you overpolarize into identity consciousness. So a mirror is made, if you look from the side, you can see that the glass is slightly greenish. Behind it is a layer of silver, and behind that, if you look on the back of the mirror, there's a goldish color. That makes a mirror. When you put these three colors into our environment, we have a mirror. Here are these masters that have been living in, you know, all perspectives at once, and suddenly this excess is put into their environment, and they start to obsess about things. To avoid it, what they end up doing is they just decide, look, I sleep. But you have low energy when you are in identity consciousness compared to somebody in God consciousness or beyond, which is where most of the students are. I have found that for me, it's as though people around me are in slow motion. If I go into linear time, I end up in slow motion. And there's another thing there, Christina, that I think is the case. I believe we have been on this conversation at least three times. Shelley is becoming just really a phenomenal oracle in her very, very special own way. But she received the message three more times to go around. Quality of the journey is very, very important. See, the nanotechnology in the Ural Mountains, this is also bombarding the major ones that they saw would make this difference. Well, that actually sucks out our feel-good feelings. The only way we can overcome it is to up our feel-good feelings. These things are black light. If we can match it, it actually works against them in that it cancels out illusion. If we're made from white light currently, by the end of today, who knows? Because I know that this white light, black light issue is some of the last throes of duality. They have to cancel each other out, and what is left beyond it is not the light that we know. It is something completely indivisible. And so I believe that we have been on this treadmill of perhaps the last 2 weeks, three times now. And, you know, this is the third. And so together we can do this tonight. If I can now understand, I haven't had the time to look very closely at this equation since I got it 1 minute to five. And I think this is the third time, and previous times I didn't get it. So, love, praise, and gratitude. If we could do, for instance, if you as a group could do this meditation when you're done, or folks that are listening to us from Paris, it must be our precious sister Lale. Is it Lale with us tonight?
That would be the only one from Paris, yes.
I think so. I miss my sister, and I am very sad that I don't get to go to Paris this month, but I know all things will be in exactly the right timing. But if we all just take time after the show and really feel first the love, you know, feel the love for every being out there, the beautiful little rabbit in the lair with her little babies, you know, the bear going into its lair and getting ready for winter, the swallows flying away, whatever it is we're seeing, feel the love and then feel the praise, because we cannot feel praise if we think these are really problematic areas like what I've been talking about. This is not. What it is a birth canal, and we're pushing through this birth canal. And the birth canal needs us to push through head and shoulders, and there is some tension. And when we were in Alaska, we discussed this issue, that we associate the discomfort of reaching a level where you just feel like, I can't do this anymore. I have dramatically cut down my pods next year. You know, I don't think I will be in Ireland all of next year. I just couldn't stand to scratch out too much from Toronto. So there is definitely two full pods in Toronto. But there are not many places where I'm doing pods next year, because I just felt that I had these few years of my daughter left before she's a teenager and kind of flies the coop, and it wasn't a path of heart for me to be gone from her that much. So, you know, it's going to take some dramatic life changes for us to say we're choosing quality of life. We don't want to be on this treadmill of activity anymore. I know that we're bringing it to a close. Like, I have them asking me, for instance, I'm trying to point out the praise is that we have to see that even when things are uncomfortable, they're imperfection. Like, I've had many of the masters enrolled in the curricula of the I Am course have asked me what exactly, you know, is the purpose of these intense ceremonies. And what the purpose of the ceremonies are is that every single move in it is a proxy. So you can do it on your own, or you can do it in the ceremony, and you're bringing massive populations, massive parts of the cosmos with you as you do it. Those symbols, some of those symbols have been hidden for eons, waiting for this time. We've got the sacred symbols, we've got sacred protocols that we are doing, and they're in you know, given in multiple different places. This is to help us bring everybody with us. It's not enough just for a group of immortal masters to live above the clouds. The song that came through is so beautiful. The gates have to be thrown open wide so that incorruptibility is there for all that have deserved life, not the shadows any longer, but that have deserved life. Now let's go to shadows, because this is the conclusion here. So we feel gratitude that we can be part of this holy service to bring the dance to a conclusion. It love, praise, and gratitude equals adoration. Adoration, if it is for something outside ourselves, is an illusion. If instead we define adoration as that which adores life, that which adores our living, our life unfolding through us, even that implies a relationship. We are the unfolding of life. So the adoration is for life, for the perfection of spontaneous unfolding. So if you add to that ecstatic unfoldment of indivisible oneness. My brothers and sisters, a lot of what has been produced by combining the gold, the silver, and the oxidized copper in our environment as like a homeopathic overdose that's given to man is the fact that we have not been able to see the big picture, even remotely. But the big picture, if we can trust it, because there's an alternate reality in place, so the tremendous work we've done over the last years is invisible to us. That tremendous work we've done is above the level of the clouds. They have superimposed like a overlay over our reality so that we would lose hope and say, listen, what's the point? We can't do an ascension. We can't bring these cities in. Meantime, they are there. They are amongst us, but we can't. We're living from an alternate displaced, if you translate the glyphs, null point, which creates a different reality. And as I say, you folks will be learning about it. We have got the Institute of Human Potential starting the 1st of November. James has confirmed this to me. And we've got the rerun of the Applied Mysticism course of the Science of Immortality and Incorruptibility. Now, to go further, the ecstatic unfoldment of indivisible oneness. My brothers and sisters, it is done by the adoration of life, the ecstatic surrender and trust. That is one way. There's a second way. I have been speaking to you about HARP during these past weeks on my radio shows. HARP being the subliminal frequencies that affect people's emotions. Mind control of humanity is done through using the black light to program our mind. These are all black light technologies. It has been used against us. Currently, the only benign technology to help you with this is the elixirs that we're producing, which has exactly evenly balanced white and black light. If it's not evenly balanced, I have to do it over. My sister Goldie yesterday asked me on her show. Goldie is our facilitator, at least one of the facilitators of New York. Our sister Dawn was on there too. And she asked me about when do I use my personal elixir and when do I use the 18 elixirs that we will have on there tomorrow at afternoon, I presume. The 18 elixirs you use for others, it's like a medicine kit. You play it if your roommate has flu, if your child is distressed with bad dreams. They give you exactly what they do, and they give you exactly how they do it. We've given the descriptions of each. Those 18 elixirs, you can play and play and play and play. You can play them for yourself. They help to disconnect you from the grid of disease of the group mind, group heart of humanity. The personal elixir is for your life. It's one that you're not going to play for other people or play for your patients as you work on them if you're a healer. But these are the only technologies to bring the indivisible oneness by removing that which can be divided, which is illusion. So the basic purpose of them is to remove illusion. It will do it for the rest of your life, whatever there is in the form of illusion. So the indivisible oneness, and the other way to do it is just complete surrender and trust. If you add all those things together, the adoration and the ecstatic unfoldment of indivisible oneness, what you find is a shadowless life of spontaneous alternating emphasis. Wow, that is so important. If I could leave you with this, I would wish very much that you discuss it on your forums. For those of you that are part of the I Am course, you can discuss it on that forum or on the other forums. But my brothers and sisters, how have we been defined as form? By surrounding us with what we're not. The shadows have defined the light, and this is how form has been created. Which means if we continue with this form of creation, we will never, ever, ever be free of beings that represent the shadows. So a whole new way of life is to be ushered in today. The cosmos, in a heartbeat, will be remade seven levels higher. The way that it is alternated is like an exquisitely tuned grand piano. The piano is capable of playing every single note. They are all there. They are vibrating gently in resonance as the most prominent notes are being played. Then those notes rest. Then the other notes play. We can define one another. We don't need shadow to define us, because anything that is defined by what it is not is, in fact, unreal. And so, from where we stand, it is very, very necessary that we start to live this equation so that we usher in the way of life where we define each other. Simon, I've known for years, my beloved brother and friend, our facilitator in Toronto. My every time I think of Simon, my heart just gets fuzzy feelings. I know Simon. I know the steadfastness of him. I know the nobility of his character. He has unique ability to sense things that I don't actually have. I fly up high in the sky. I fly right over them. And underneath he comes, and he can really feel. It got so that I finally just said, Simon, whatever you feel, we go with it, because of how pronounced those abilities are. By his emphasis on those abilities, they are in me too. But they're not emphasized in me. He defines what I am by emphasis, not because he's shadow and I'm light, or I'm shadow and he's light. Different way of living. So I will say, I've got to end now because I can see our clock is saying we're at the end of our talking time, my love. I hope that's been helpful. And please, if people could really discuss that last equation, because there's much to be uncovered.
We will, for sure. Thank you very much, Almeen. I just want to quickly mention, and there's 2 minutes left, that about the upcoming pod in New York next week. From September, you're going to be in New York.
Yes.
On September 10th. Well, the pod is September 11th to the 13th.
Thank you very much. I forgot about that one, and absolutely. I am there for a television show with Alan Steinfeld, and you can see that on almeeninnewyork.com. And then I'm there for the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yes, and I'll see you there. I know some of us here will be joining you as well. And,
yes.
Thank you very much. This has been an amazing show, and I definitely we're going to, as a group, work with this, and it's just been beautiful. And we love you. No insults. We love you. We love you.
Ah, thank you, my darling. Very nice to hear. In fact, Christina, if I could speak to you after the show closes down, if that's possible, or...
You want me to call you? Yes?
I tell you what, I'll call Simon.
Okay.
Okay, my love. Thank you.
That's fine. Thank you very much, Almeen. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Everyone, for tuning in.
Bye, my love. Love you very much.
Love you.
Thank you for tuning in, everyone, and have a blessed night.
Don't go yet. We have to...